Good morning. How is everybody this morning? Thank you for coming today. It's a beautiful day outside. John said he was going to have two lovely children. Pass out the registration. Be sure to sign that you are in the second service. Announcements are in your bulletin, but I think there's a few that want to be made today. Dave? Next Saturday. And what time is that, Dave? Do you know? 7 o'clock. Are there any other announcements? Yes. Party Wednesday, and I think you're serving pizza. Is that correct?
Wednesday, where does it start? Wednesday? You want to say
Are there any other announcements? There are some in your bulletin you can read about. Yes, listen. Okay. Are there any others this time? Prayer and praise request.
Y'all have a new grandbaby.
We do have a new grandbaby. Praise the Lord. Avery Grace, 8 pounds, 8 ounces, Thursday night. Yes, Karen. Junior Martin.
Doc MacArthur, who is Sarah Strasser's father, failed this week. I think he was dehydrated. Doc 93. I believe he's still in the hospital at Centennial. So, Doc MacArthur.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Walters. What was her name again?
Sandy Creek.
Sandy Creek.
Yes. I think she's on the list.
Sam Moore, the employee that I told you had pancreatic cancer, got another call from the doctor this week, and he has lung cancer, which is like getting off a death row. He's thrilled to death that it's just lung cancer, and I say just lung cancer, but to him, he was just ecstatic. Doctors have given him hope that they can treat this lung cancer, and that what they thought was pancreatic cancer was just where the lung cancer had metastasized. So, really, that's a praise. Praise God that it's not more serious than we first thought. Are there any other prayer or praise requests?
Tim,
yeah.
We can pray for
fire. I agree, Carolyn. I believe we were going to let come up, John, and take care of an announcement. Okay, we'll go ahead and let him. If you would, pause for a moment of silent prayer, preparing your heart for God.
The CPWM is going to take over or in charge of the Operation Christmas Child this year, and it's, if you remember, it's where you fill the Christmas shoe boxes for children all over the world. And I found out today that I actually received a box. Where'd she go? She actually received a box, and when she was in Russia. So it's pretty cool to see that they're at, you know, people actually get these boxes. And I do have a short presentation on there's a video. So we'll watch that really quick, and then I'll talk a little more about it.
Oh Lord, I pray for the children all over the world who are hurting, who are homeless, orphans, kids with nowhere to turn,
I pray for the child who will receive my shoebox gift.
That my gift will put a smile on their face, will bring joy into their difficult life.
And most importantly, will bring them into a relationship with you, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior.
I want to see that child in heaven.
I pray these things in
Jesus' name. Amen.
Prayer, the key to the success of Operation Christmas Child. Since 1993, over 46 million shoeboxes have been sent to children living in 134 countries across the globe. Simple shoebox gifts brighten the faces of hurting children, victims of war, disease, and natural disaster. The gifts bring happiness and hope, becoming unforgettable memories, touching the hearts of precious children.
Operation Christmas Child, hooray!
You got it! Operation Christmas Child.
Merry Christmas.
You too.
Operation Christmas Child partners with national churches.
Jesus Christ came to save us.
Sharing the gospel through music and drama. Booklets printed in their own language illustrate the truth of God's word. Many children receiving shoeboxes participate in a Bible study program offered by Operation Christmas Child in partnership with the Mailbox Club. To date, over a million children have made decisions for Christ.
From the Big Apple.
To the nation's capital.
Along the banks of the Mississippi.
From the bayous of Louisiana.
To the plains of Kansas.
Even in the Rocky Mountains.
To the land of the Native Americans.
There are millions of us with one thing in common.
We love the packed shoebox.
Countless families, schools, and churches understand the power of a simple shoebox.
Merry Christmas!
Operation Christmas Child wouldn't be possible without volunteers.
There are thousands and thousands of volunteers who come down here, who work, who give their time, who sort them, package them, get them in the right cartons, into the right boxes, and then they go by ship, they go by truck, they go by plane, camels, boats, you name it, they get there.
Thousands of gift boxes were given to children living in the Philippines. Christioma lives in a rough area of Manila, where families are forced to live in crude structures that come within mere feet of railroad tracks.
I was very happy to open the box. This was the most wonderful gift I've ever gotten. When I read the gospel booklet, I realized God loves me very much, and I love Him very much too.
Shoeboxes have changed entire villages. After boxes were distributed in a remote Ukrainian village, the children and their parents were touched by these boxes of love. So much so that they began a church.
Because of these shoeboxes, many people have come to know Christ.
It's a very powerful message that God loves them. There is nothing that would give that assurance other than somebody far away packing a gift box to give to a child that they don't know anything about. It can only be God.
Thank you.
It's exciting to see what God can do with just a shoebox gift. When that gift is put into the hands of a child, the joy, the excitement, the smiles, I never get used to it. My heart is touched each and every time. But our hope and our prayer, of course, we want that child to know about the living God, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, these gifts can literally change not only a life, they can have an impact on a family and on an entire village. We need your help. We need your support. We do need your prayers, but we need your involvement. Get involved today with Operation Christmas Child. Get your church involved. Every box is important. Thank you. We need your involvement. God bless you. I'm Franklin Graham.
We have set a church goal of 100 shoeboxes, and I know that that will be very easy to hit. We need the 100 actual shoeboxes. We need 100 of each item. We're going to do 50 girl boxes and 50 boy boxes. If you want to do a box as a family or more than one box for an individual, or if your children want to do a box, that would be great. I have information up here about the things that need to go in it, and next week there will be a box in the vestibule for actual donations, and then we'll also have a box if you want to give money to help send the boxes. They are $7 a piece to send, to ship them. So we hope that you will get involved. We are doing this in conjunction with Kids for Christ. So we're going to meet Sunday, October 21st, to put all the boxes together and just have a good time, kind of a celebration, and getting ready to send these off. So if you have any questions, just see me after the service. Thank you.
Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise Him.
Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully. Shout for joy.
For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all He does.
Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere Him.
Number 20 in your hymnal, please.
Standing as we sing, let's sing the first and the last stanza.
Thank you. for prayer. We come, the Scriptures call us, O Lord, to sing a new song. And we find that we're singing one over 500 years old. But that was a new song 500 years ago. And hopefully, O Lord, it's that special call that you have called upon us to make. A call to you, a call to praise, a call to glorify. Thank you, Lord, for the testimonies of those through the generations, even through the centuries. And thank you, Lord, that we have music with which we can join together in praise and adoration to you. Thank you, Lord, that you call us to worship you. Thank you that you call us to together. And thank you, Lord, that living the Christian life is not something that we do by ourselves, but that we have support from fellow Christians. We have encouragement from like-minded people and people of like faith. But Lord, we thank you especially that we have your presence, and we thank you that we have your encouragement. So as we have assembled today, Lord, we pray your blessings, your guidance. And we pray that you would so bless us in this hour that we could be a blessing to you and to your kingdom. Realizing, O Father, that it's really not about us, but we're here for you. But knowing when we come for you, O Lord, that we are blessed also. We offer this prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing and state in words that which we believe.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
This morning comes from Romans 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned. Prayer confession this morning, if you would say it with me. Almighty God, We are unworthy to come into your presence because of our many sins. We do not deserve any grace or mercy from you if you dealt with us as we deserve. We have sinned against you, O Lord, and we have offended you. And yet, O Lord, as we acknowledge our sins and offenses, so also do we acknowledge you to be a merciful God, a loving and favorable Father to all who turn to you. And so we humbly ask you, for the sake of Christ your Son, to show mercy to us and forgive us all our offenses. Forgive the sins of our youth and the sins of our old age. By your Spirit, O God, take possession of our hearts, so that not only the actions of our life, but also the words of our mouths and the smallest thought of our minds may be guided and governed by you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness this morning is from Isaiah 59, verse 1. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. Number 342 in your hymnal, please.
One, three, and five.
John 15, verse 13, says that greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Before I knew your name, you knew my every breath. Before I found my way, you knew my every step. Before I knew everything that I need, you gave it all to me. No greater love than this, that you should lay down your life for someone such as me. I spend a lifetime wondering why the beauty of heaven is here in my heart. And I know there can be no greater love than this. I never understood how merciful love can be, until I found this faith that lights every part of me. Now I will give everything that I am, for I have been saved. Yes, I have been saved. No greater love than this, that you should lay down your life for someone such as me. I spend a lifetime wondering why the beauty of heaven is here in my heart, and I know there can be no greater love, no greater love than this, that you should lay down your life for someone such as me. I spend a lifetime wondering why the beauty of heaven is here in my heart, and I know there can be no greater love for someone such as me. No greater love than this, that Jesus laid down his life for me.
Guess how much I love you. Well, in this book, And I'm not going to spoil it for you if you haven't ever read it, but you need to get it and read it because it's really good, because you have it. There you go. And in this book, the little rabbit tells the other big rabbit, I love you this much. And then the big rabbit says, well, I love you this much. And, of course, his arms are longer than the little rabbit, right? Well, there's a contest kind of, and I'm not going to spoil it for you, but it made me think about just what Mr. Sam sang about. There is no love greater than what Christ did for us. Christ spread his arms on the cross for us. He died for us. He took away our sin for us. And all we have to do is accept him as our Lord and Savior and love him and love one another. Because he tells us in the book, in the Bible, that if we love one another, the people know that we are his disciples. And there's no greater commandment than we love one another and that we love our Lord and Savior. So don't forget, when you think about guess how much somebody loves you, our Lord and Savior loves us more than anything.
Sentence this morning is from Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. Would our ushers come forward, please? Said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say unto you, and ask, it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
Aren't you glad that we've got 3 bedrooms now, and in most houses, or maybe more, and you don't have to sleep in the same bed with your children? You heard that, didn't you? In bed with his children. That could be miserable. Little boy, storm would come up. My mother was deathly afraid of storms. She'd get us all up, put us in the same bed, but it had an iron bedstead, and you couldn't touch the iron on it because lightning might strike that iron bedstead. So y'all had to sit in the middle of the bed. Not touch anything. Couldn't go to sleep because if the storm blew you away, you wanted to be there experiencing it all. Had to dress. No, couldn't lean back or anything. That was a terrible time to be in one bed with the whole family. She wanted us all to go together. Anyhow, this man here was in bed with his children. Great guy stretched out a little bit. Incidentally, Deborah Eckert. I didn't stretch what I experienced as a child when the storm came. Maybe I twisted the scripture just a little bit. Deborah Eckert sent a nice thank you card for the church and their response to her father's death. It's right here if you'd like to read it. We're going to talk about prayer this morning. We really want to talk about growing as Christians. We've been spending time on becoming a Christian. We've been spending time on learning as a Christian, growing as a Christian, what to do when a Christian is tempted, what to do when a Christian sins. You remember all those sermons, don't you? Down to the detail. They're all on the website under Sermon Archives. If you want to go back and review, I hope you would. Hope somebody will. I don't know why else we're saving them. I go back and review every once in a while. But anyhow, growing as a Christian through prayer. What about prayer and church growth? Spiritual growth within. Growth of the church. Numbers. Growth as a church. New churches. And there's so many. There are going to be more new churches in our community also. And as much prayer, you can believe, is being offered concerning each of those. I hope that through this sermon to urge you, God's people, and myself, that we would grow, continue to grow in our relationship to God and to Jesus through prayer. Reading the Bible is one way to grow, and we talked about that as we learn more and more about what He says, but prayer is another way. Why did this disciple come to Jesus and asked Jesus to teach the disciples to pray? Well, I don't know why he came. I can't be sure what the motivation or what the reason was, but I can speculate. And I will confess, in the 8 o'clock hour, I speculated too long, so I had to give the people there, or chose to give them a homework assignment for the sermon. Go home and read all the scriptures that's listed at the end. But maybe I won't speculate that long. We can only speculate, but some of my speculation is, and I think it leads into prayer, some of my speculation is that John the Baptist had taught his disciples to pray. And that's what this disciple said. John has taught his disciples to pray. Why aren't you teaching us to pray? It might have been a little criticism of Jesus. Don't you want us to pray? I don't know that it was. I can speculate there. I'm not saying it was. Since John had taught his disciples to pray, why wasn't Jesus teaching his disciples to pray? At least two of Jesus' disciples had formerly been John's disciples. We find that in John, the Gospel, chapter 1, verse 35 and following. And then in verse 40, chapter 1 of John, verse 40, we find that Andrew was one of these who had been a disciple of John. And Jesus came by, and John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Well, Andrew and his other disciple didn't want to be with the one pointing to Jesus. They wanted to be with Jesus, evidently, because they left. The evidence being, they left John, who was only pointing to Jesus, and went with Jesus. It says they began to follow Jesus. Maybe, this disciple that asked that Jesus teach him to pray, maybe he felt that the rest of the disciples were missing out. If he was the one that had learned from John how to pray, or if he was one that had not learned, maybe he thought he and the other 10 were missing out on something and needed this experience. Maybe he just thought, we all need to know how to commune with God, or we need to know what Jesus would tell us about communing with God and how we can commune with God. Well, as you read what Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, 1 through 13, Jesus told them a great, great deal. Why this guy asked, we have speculated a bit. But it's often that somebody will offer a suggestion for something in church. Brother Gillen, why don't we have a Wednesday Bible study? Brother Gillen, why don't we do this or that? Why don't we have Wednesday night church? I meant Sunday night church. Why don't we have Sunday night church? There he goes. That preacher and three more come. And we tried that 20 years ago. But we have more than three more, I guess. But every once in a while, somebody will attend another church and see something that's really good, or they think it is, and they'll bring it back and say, well, we experienced this over there. They're doing this. You might want to try. And the outline, the sermon outline came, and if I remember correctly, it came from Gordon McCandless. And I think they went to visit their children and attended church with them. And that preacher had provided an outline. I think he had put fill in the blanks, so you had to listen real close to fill in the blanks on that one. And he said, Gordon came back and said, Larry, this may help me to follow more closely. So we tried it. Maybe after Gordon died, I'm not sure. But we tried it, and if you ever try something, you can't get away from it. Peggy Dunnigan said one morning, maybe after the first time we did the outline, and she said, boy, I like that. That's real good. So every time that I would say, I'm not going to do an outline this Sunday. I'm just going to speak like we used to. And if people have to keep up with you, I'd think, but Peggy, this speaks to her. And I'm sure if it speaks to her, it would speak to the rest of the people, or some of the other people anyway. So we started providing an outline. And then we moved on. PowerPoint came along, and PowerPoint's been around a while, so we tried PowerPoint. Hopefully it'll help us follow. We didn't put any pictures the last 2 weeks, but one of these days we'll get them back to the pictures. But Jesus responded to this request. He didn't say, oh, you don't need to know how to pray. He was pleased that they asked him to teach them how to pray. Or it appears that he was, because he went into quite detail. He took advantage of that question. Sometimes people ask me a question, and I'll say, well, how long do you want to listen? But I'm ready to answer those church questions if I can. And they'll say, well, not too long. Well, that doesn't do too much to make me excited, because I like to tell them a lot. But anyhow, Jesus responded, and he went on to tell them a good bit about prayer. He told them more than they asked for, I guess, because he told them what to pray or how to pray, and then he explained a little bit more. First thing that Jesus did was gave a model for praying. And when we think of a model for praying, we go to the Lord's Prayer, and that's what he gave them. Now, Luke's version is just a bit different than Matthew's version. And then if you read the Book of Common Prayer, the Book of Common Prayer is translated, debts has been translated trespasses, and then the modern versions call it trespasses, sins, and it means the same thing. But traditionally, Reformed church tradition, churches, Presbyterians in general, have used debts rather than trespasses. And you may have been to a church, you may have grown up asking forgiveness for your trespasses rather than your sins. But it's the same thing. But he gave them a model for prayer. And also, he went ahead and taught them, or went on and taught them the importance of prayer in their daily life. And he talks about even when a friend comes at midnight and you need to feed him, and you don't have any food in the house, you didn't go to the grocery store that day, or company had already been there and ate it all up, and you needed some food to feed your visitor, to be a gracious host, and you needed some food, so you went to your neighbor and you asked them for food, and he wouldn't get up because he was in bed with his children, remember? And some people would like to get up if they had to all share the same bed, wouldn't they? But he wouldn't get up because he just asked, but because he was persistent. I think one version calls it, because he was persistent, he got up. And he says, this is like God is. We need to be persistent in prayer. We need to let him know we're serious. It's not just a flying thought or a fleeting thought that we offer to him. Oh, Lord, it'd be good if I had $1 million or something like that. He taught him something about the seriousness of the matter and the relationship of prayer in our daily life. And that's Luke 11:5-13. And then he gave him some details about prayer. And it's over in Matthew 6. I believe it is. He says, don't go out and just use a lot of flowery words, especially when you're going out and praying in public. Get out on the street corner and just let people know that you've got a great vocabulary. He said something about going into your home, your closet, and pray. Now, some may interpret this, and I think it's a wrong interpretation, that we're supposed to always pray in secret and never lead in public prayer. And I've heard that expressed. Jesus says, you know, don't do that. Well, maybe the church sanctuary is our closet, where we are separated from the rest of the world. So we come and pray. But we can also pray over meals, but I go to eat a meal, and sometimes even it's just okay to pray a silent prayer, I'm convinced, over a meal. But I wouldn't dare go in and say to the whole restaurant, oh, do y'all be quiet now while we pray, every head bowed. Who would do that? That would be a little showy off, wouldn't it? And Jesus is not telling us to do this. Basically, that's what he's telling us not to do. So Jesus goes on and gives these disciples and us as latter day disciples, can you use that phrase, latter day or later day? Some of the details about praying. But another thing he talks about when he teaches us about prayer, especially as we read Matthew's version, he connects prayer, asking for forgiveness,
with the offering of forgiveness to those who have offended us. Boy, Jesus went up. He had a lot to say, didn't he? When these guys said, they just pray. And Matthew doesn't say they ask. He was doing the Sermon on the Mount. It's included in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew evidently just left out that they asked for it, but he told them. And he went on and called and said, Lord, even in the model prayer, forgive us our debt as we forgive those who are our debtors or who trespass against us or who sin against us. And even teaching us that we need not even need to ask for forgiveness for the sins that we have committed unless we are willing to forgive those who have sinned against us. And Mark, back in the 11th chapter of Mark, he stresses this rather emphatically. Is that a good word? He stresses it that don't even think about asking for forgiveness unless we are willing to forgive. And then Jesus even gave a parable concerning this. So anyhow, he responded. He gave a model for praying and gave some details about praying, secondly. And then he went on and explained a little bit. What about prayer from the model? Well, we'll quickly go through this. Give glory to God or acknowledge who God is. He is Father. Our Father. Our Heavenly Father. Our Father who art in heaven or which art in heaven. And then, holy is your name. Even God's name is holy. You know, God is different than us. He's divine and we are human. Do we comprehend that? Sometimes we want to make God the old man upstairs like our long-bearded grandfather. No, that's not right. That's limiting God. God is creator. He spoke and the world came into existence. Now the Bible does personify God. Puts him in a person that we can somewhat understand. Call him Father. We relate him to our Father. But if we had a terrible father, that would turn some people off, would it not? They wouldn't know how to approach him. But our Father who art in heaven, he is not an earthly father, different than an earthly father. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed. Holy is your name. Even your name, O Lord, is holy. We honor, we respect you. And then we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. So we're praying for the kingdom of God to come. In Matthew's verses, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth or in earth as it is in heaven. William Barclay stresses that the kingdom of God is come when God's people do what God wants them to do or do the will of God. When God's people do the will of God. And if we pray that, are we praying it for ourselves? Lord, help me to do your will. Or help your kingdom to come in me. Or help your kingdom to come through me. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There was a phrase that's been used through the generations. I'm not sure where it started. But the prayer was, Lord, send a revival. How many times have we prayed for that? And let it begin in me. Let it start with me. That's admitting that we need revival. And then he goes on to pray for daily necessities, recognizing that God provides them. Give us this day our daily bread. And bread is as basic as anything. Is that not right? Anything more basic than bread? Give us this day our daily bread. You know, we're not going to have much bread. Somebody was saying during the Sunday school break, we're not going to have any hay. Our hay is going to be $7 a bale. You may be wishful thinking, Chip. Is that right? It may be wishful thinking. And $7 a bale. And if we don't have grain, we don't have bread. We don't have rain. We don't have grain. So let's pray for rain. I was at a meeting Thursday night. Somebody stood up and said,
one of my members, the elder that's supposed to represent our church, couldn't be here tonight. His well was dry. Folks, let's pray for rain. Daily necessities. Jesus teaches us to pray to God for daily necessities. Food on the table. And there are many ramifications of that. Pray for it. And then he says, confess and ask forgiveness for sin, but as we forgive others. And basically Jesus is saying, if you're not willing to forgive, maybe no other message is coming through today. If we're not willing to forgive, and I hope we don't need this, but we've been preaching this for all these years. If we're not willing to forgive others, we need not ask for forgiveness. It's just as plain as that. We come just as we are. We come and confess our sins just as we are. And that was John Knox's confession prayer. Did you notice that little note there? Discovered these not long ago. And Calvin was coming up. And these prayers of confession, I don't think I've ever written my own personal one, not in a long time. So these are all borrowed. And this is John Knox. 1560, I think. Long time ago. Had the same problems then that we have now, right? Pray for our action and even the thoughts of our mind. Even the smallest thoughts of our mind that are wrong. Confess them. Confess and ask for forgiveness for sin, and then pray for protection from the evil one. Pray for protection from the evil one. Lead us not into temptation. Who is it that tempted Jesus? The evil one. The importance of prayer in the growth process. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Can I assign that as a homework assignment? Psalms 116, 17. Can I assign that? I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call upon the name of the Lord. John 15, 7. Jesus says, if you remain in me, if we're interconnected with Jesus, then we can ask. We can ask for forgiveness. We can ask for daily necessities, daily supplies, because we're in fellowship with Him. And we're going to do what He tells us to do. And then we can ask boldly. And ask and it will be given to you, seek and knock. That was part of the lesson this morning. And then Matthew 6, 5 through 15. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues on the street corners to be seen by men. But all the reward they'll ever get is that one on earth. But when you pray, go into your room and close the door. This is our room. The doors are closed. Am I stretching that just a little bit? I don't think so. I hope not. This is our room. Close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then he who sees what is done in secret will reward you. The Father will. And then this is how you should pray. And he gives the Matthew 6, 5 through 15. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. Pray continually. Pray often. Pray throughout the day. And every time somebody tells me I pray for you every night, I am thankful. Pray for me at noon if you can. I won't add that to it. And pray for, I get frustrated at noon just like I do at breakfast. Pray for me at breakfast. Getting up walking with Mr. Putnam. We have such a good time. And Mr. Putnam talks all the time. Mr. Jackson is going to get back maybe Monday. And that's free walk. And we just have a good time. But just pray for us that we can be prepared to go out into the world. And then pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer. And then be on guard. Be alert. That's Ephesians 6, 18. Let's pray in the Spirit. Then be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when the time will come, and that is the end time when Jesus is coming back. He says, really be praying. Be alert. Be watching as we wait for Jesus to come. Now, I'm going to tell you, just as I am, which probably sounded to you like an invitation to Him, right? But it also fit real good just after we had prayed our prayer of confession, right? Because we came to God just as we were. And we confessed our sins, and we were there, and we'd wait for Him to forgive us. And it's a thank you
for forgiveness. But in the garden, I have never considered that an invitation. But think about it. It's an invitation to pray, or an encouragement to pray, to fellowship with God. It's not just talking to God, it's talking with God. So let's turn to 425. 425 is the psalm. And see this as our time of prayer. And if you would have a public response, not to me, but to God this morning, and would like to make that response public, tell the world, this part of the world, that you're praying, you're trusting in Jesus, you're seeking forgiveness, or whatever you want to tell, that is certainly appropriate as we stand. It's 425. And Sam, let's just sing the second stanza. Jesus' name. Amen.